Jack Antonini. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Good
to be here.
This is a great con. You just finished presenting downstairs, and if for those folks who didn't make it here and you missed something really good, then can you give us a quick summary on what you talked about?
Yeah, I talked about how to implement USAA success strategies at your credit union.
Oh, okay.
So I went back through some of the key learnings and key insights that we had at USAA back in the 11 years that I was there, and the things that helped us the most in terms of serving our members, and how USAA is very much a member-owned, member-driven organization, and how to be able to use those same kind of insights to be able to help your members in a credit union.
Okay. And before we get into the insights, my initial question is, how did that go over with a credit union audience talking about USAA? How did that go over?
Well, it seemed to go fairly well.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that USAA is owned by its members, and even though they are somewhat of a competitor, you know, they serve a unique military niche, you know, so it's not a competitor for most of the folks in the room. And it was funny, when they did the introduction, they said, and he also worked at did retail banking at First Union, so he came from the dark side. There's some chuckles in the room. But it's true, right? I mean, you learn from each of those situations, and that's what brought me to the credit union side, because I want to be with people who are serving members, because that's my passion.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah, I came out of the dark side. I got out as quickly as I could.
And here you are, right here.
Exactly.
So give me a couple of quick insights that you present. I don't want to steal the thunder in your presentation, but if there's a couple of things you want to mention, that would be awesome.
Sure. Well, one of the big things that we found to be extremely helpful is listening to your members and listening to your employees. You know, they are a tremendous amount of insight into what members need, what members want, what they're happy with, where you can improve and do things better. You know, nobody sets up bad procedures or bad systems. It just kind of happens over time, where you have to deal with new regulations and things change and stuff like that. So sometimes we end up with what is a fairly cumbersome process, and members will help to point that out, and employees get that too. When you get a new employee, they've got a fresh set of eyes, and as they're learning that system, I always would encourage people, you know, raise questions. If you see something that isn't logical to you, or where you think it could be faster, let us know, because we're not doing it this way on purpose. It's just something that's evolved, and we need a fresh set of eyes often to be able to help us to find ways where we can improve and make it better. So listening to employees and members was one thing. Another thing that at USAA was really a big deal, Jenna McDermott came, who was the guy who built USAA. He came to the realization, and we called it golden rule service, that you know, you should treat other people the way you'd like to be treated, which is the golden rule. And what he also recognized is employees will only treat members as good as you treat them. So if you treat the employees really good, they'll treat your members really good, and vice versa.
Trickles down.
It does. So, I mean, it was really good insight. When he first got to USAA, they were having 40% turnover. They're spread all over the city. They were in 10 different facilities. I mean, organizational fiefdoms. It took forever to get a policy issued. And he really streamlined things. He significantly improved the environment, so people wanted to stay. Got it down to less than 5% attrition from over 40%, which is amazing. You know, so people really liked it. They felt empowered in that environment, and they were given the tools to be able to really serve members well, and the tools to be able to improve. You know, and that combination is what really got people to stay and be really happy with USAA and be happy serving members.
Wow. I mean, gosh, what a story in itself right there. I mean, it's a great example for what credit unions can do, too. And same thing.
Yeah, it absolutely applies. I mean, credit unions are really the same structure. They're member-owned. In the same kind of environment, and there are clearly ways to be able to take those same policies and apply them in a credit union world.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so what are you, let's switch gears a little bit here. You're here presenting, obviously, but you're networking and attending sessions as well. What are you hearing? What's kind of the buzz that you're hearing talking to people at this show?
Well, the buzz, obviously, everybody's wondering what's going to happen with the election. What's that going to do to us? You know, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen with CFPB? What's going to happen with new NCUA board members, right? I mean, there's so much that could be up in the air. So we're all anxious to see, you know, where this all shakes out in the next couple of weeks and what the implications are, because we've had a really good, you know, last few months, you know, last year or two, really, in terms of regulatory climate. You know, the new MBL rules, you know, even the way that the QSO registration worked out and all turned out really good. You know, so it's at a point where it's something that we were able to influence it to where it wasn't as onerous as what was originally proposed. And so you worry then in a new environment with new people, you got to start over again. You know, what's that going to be like? You know, the same thing with receptivity in Congress. You know, if you got a lot of new people up there, there's a lot of education that'll have to happen.
No doubt. Advocacy. You know,
concern, you know, around advocacy and what's that going to require. So that's kind of the big thing I'm hearing about and that we're talking about is kind of how do you prepare and get ready for it as best you can, you know, knowing that there's a lot of unknowns right now.
Gosh, I didn't realize there was so much on the plate until you started talking about all that stuff. There's a lot we need to keep track of.
Well, yeah, exactly. But fortunately, there's enough of us that are doing different pieces that we don't all get overwhelmed.
All right, wrap-up question for you, Jack. I mean, I know you're a busy, busy, busy guy. So what's the latest and greatest? What's going on in NACUSO that we can look forward to? Obviously, the big conference coming up early next year, and what else is happening?
Well, we're already working on the conference, which we're excited about. We're working on taking the information that's in the CUSO registry and trying to expand it into a searchable CUSO database, basically, because there's so much that's not listed there, and a lot of the basic things that were chosen by people when they were filling out the CUSO registry are very broad or in some cases flat out inaccurate. We know because we have looked through it, and we know that certain CUSOs that selected technology, I mean, they use technology to do what they do, but they're not really a technology CUSO. So we want to be able to get real accurate information around, you know, what kind of products and services do they offer? How do you contact them? You know, because that information's not there. Get it to where it's a tool that will really help the industry to be able to find collaborative solutions within the industry, not have to go out outside vendors. So
great,
that'll help.
Yeah, indeed. All right, I could talk about this stuff for a long time, but I'm sure you got stuff to do. So, Jack, thank you so much.
Mike.
Indeed.
Great
keep up the good work.
You,
well done.
Thank you.